I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM. Just before Christmas, a special vocal ensemble performed at the annual Festival of the Trees at the Albuquerque Convention Center. The choir was unusual because it was comprised mostly of individuals recovering from brain injury. This neuro choir, as it's called, was organized by my guest, UNM Assistant Professor Jessica Richardson. She is part of the university's Center for Brain Recovery and Repair. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What were the causes of the choir members' injuries?
Some people have a stroke. Others may have had brain surgery because of a tumor, traumatic brain injury because of a fall or assault or a motor vehicle accident. So quite a wide variety of brain injuries in our group.
Wide range of ages as well?
Yes, a wide range of ages. A lot of our supporters are students and community members, and a lot of our members range from age 30 to age 70. Some of them bring their children or grandchildren as well, and we welcome that. Anyone who wants to support us, we are very open to that.
And when you say supporters, these are fellow singers in the choir.
Fellow singers, yes.
What kind of difficulties might these individuals face?
For some people, they may have language problems. When they want to say a word, it won't come out of their mouth, or something comes out, but it might be what we call word salad. We call this aphasia. There might be speech problems like dysarthria, so a weakness of the muscles. Apraxia of speech is a difficulty programming those muscles to do what you want them to do. Other problems related to Parkinson's disease that relate to loudness and breath support and muscle movements, dementia, social impairment that might arise from traumatic brain injury. So again, a wide range of speech, language, and communication disorders.
And I would imagine that isolation is a problem.
Yes, very much so.
And the choir, therefore, would be really a terrific solution for that.
That's one of the reasons we were passionate about rolling this out. Social isolation, it is literally a killer. And we know that life participation and social networks decrease and shrink after you have a brain injury, and not just for the person with the brain injury, also for their care partners. So it's a ripple effect that these networks and these opportunities for participation shrink.
As I said, there was a performance before Christmas. How often before that did this group of singers get together and rehearse?
We were just founded a little over a year ago. We practice about 2 times a month. I think we had only had about 6 practices. Not everyone comes all the time, so that's not 6 practices with full members. But we send home CDs and music. We practice together. They have the opportunity to practice at home. And some people, they showed up the day of, only having practiced to the CD, and we were fine with that. And we sounded fantastic.
You mean the day of the performance?
Yes.
Wow. The rehearsals, I know that you have had experience singing in choirs and choruses throughout your life. How did these rehearsals differ from the rehearsals for any choir that you had been in previously?
I think we have more fun.
Why is that?
I think there's just such a neat atmosphere that we have and that we provide. And again, with our background, there's a group of people who are speech-language pathologists who know how to communicate with people with different communication disorders. And we really see their faces light up with these opportunities. Other ways that it's different, we modify some of the warm-ups. So some people who may have language difficulty may not be able to say me, me, my, mo, moo, but they can say numbers quite easily. We only do about 2 or 3 part harmony. We're not that advanced yet, and we sing a lot of well-known classics, and we also focus on a lot of uplifting songs.
The way the singers are vocalizing and presenting songs to the audience, does that change as well?
For some people, even with a significant language or speech deficit, they're able to sing right along to doe, a deer, a female deer. For some people, they can't maybe get all of those words out, or maybe they can't move their mouth as quickly as needed for that. So we had them hold out doe and then move up to re. And so it actually provides a nice harmony for us while other people are moving up and down and they're holding out this note. So that's something that we work on, myself and my co-director, Nicole Larson, who's a vocologist, and she's also training to be a speech-language pathologist. We work really hard to make the music not only pleasing to hear for the audience, but also something that will work for that wide range of deficits that we have in our choir.
And do some members find that they are more comfortable singing than they are talking?
Yes. For example, in the case of aphasia, we kind of describe their speech as being telegraphic. Kids these days don't understand, but sending a telegram, each word costs some money. So you really just sent the very basic of basic information, one word to express a whole bunch of words. Well, for people with non-fluent aphasia, sometimes it's all they can say. Sometimes they may only be able to get out one or two words to try to express thousands of concepts. Some people may come in and only have a vocabulary that they control of 20 to 30 words, but oftentimes, when you get them to sing these familiar songs, these words come out. It can be very empowering for them. One of the experiences that we had at our events last year brought me to tears because I'm sitting there directing, and one of our new members, she was just bawling her eyes out, and I'm like, what's happening? What do we need to do? Do we need to stop? And I look around, and she's looking at her family members who had never seen her move her mouth and say words like that since her stroke. So it was incredibly powerful, and it's wonderful to be a part of that.
Do you think, Jessica, that music in itself, making music, singing, is therapeutic?
I think for any life participation goal, quality of life goal, I know the evidence shows quite nicely that this helps. Whether or not it actually helps build people's vocabulary or improves their ability to participate in a conversation, that's actually a whole other line of research that needs to be conducted. We are adding a research arm to this to start to answer some of these questions, to start looking at the brain with our neuroimaging technology, to see actually what is happening in the brain in someone, for example, who can't really speak but who can sing, what's going on with those brain networks. And by looking at this and by looking at how this compares to other treatment approaches, we can really start to learn more about how the brain adapts to the brain injury and how we can make it work for us in ways that help us adapt to our new lives with different treatment approaches. And so that's actually one of the goals of not only my lab and the Center for Brain Recovery and Repair, but for other labs in this community as well. We have a lot of really interesting work going on here.
We've talked about the value of human interaction and the possible value of making music. Would you say, Jessica, that what's good for stroke victims is good for those of us who don't have brain injury?
That's a fantastic question. I'm going to kind of answer you in a little bit different way, and that is when we make our communities more accessible for people who have brain injury, everyone benefits. There is everything to be gained by helping others participate, by pulling them out of their shells, by learning different ways of communicating with people who might have communication difficulty, by volunteering services. There's so much research about, especially with the aging population, the importance of staying active, of staying engaged, of staying relevant, of feeling needed. And this is a way to do those things, no matter having a disability or not.
I think you mentioned this before, but the Christmas performance, how was it received?
It was awesome. It's a very warm reception. It's very inspiring to see the members and to hear them. And what's really fun for me is that they are so proud for the fact that they are up there raising money for someone else. Because that's something that disappears when you have a brain injury, is you become the cared for person in a lot of cases. You become the person that people have to worry about. You don't necessarily feel that you have learning opportunities or giving opportunities. And this was a way for them to help raise money through the concert that we gave at the Festival of Trees. They were able to help someone else to raise money for the Children's Hospital. And that's incredibly powerful as well.
What's next? Are you going to continue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We start our rehearsals again next month in February. Anyone can visit my website, jdrichslp.com. It has information about the choir meeting times, as well as information about all of the other things that we do. So the choir definitely is one thing that we do that we enjoy, that's in the community that a lot of people can benefit from. And that's one arm of many arms that we have of research and outreach. So we have reading groups for people who have reading difficulty after brain injury. We do treatment research on different treatment approaches that might help people have better outcomes after stroke or brain injury. There's a whole lot of things that we do. Again, we want to make an impact in the community. We need the community to help us with that. So yes, we're definitely going to continue. We're definitely going to continue to have concerts to spread the word about brain injury awareness and the importance of participation.
Jessica Richardson teaches in UNM's Department of Speech and Hearing Sciences. Over Christmas, she brought together local individuals in recovery from brain injury to create a performing ensemble, the Neuro Choir. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.